Good afternoon. This is R.C. Blakes on this Tuesday afternoon. And I was just sitting here and thinking about boundaries and the importance of establishing boundaries in one's life. I'm trying to adjust this microphone. There are so many people who are suffering because they don't understand the necessity of boundaries. Hello from London. I'm on my way to London in March of 2020. So many people are suffering because there's no understanding of boundaries and how they operate. Let me see something. I think this might make noise. Let me get rid of it. And there's some of you that are watching me now who are in situations presently simply because you didn't have boundaries. You just kind of allowed people to move in and through and around your life with an unrestricted pass. And let's see if I can get to my notes. I jotted down a few things that I want to share with you today. Relative to boundaries. When you think about it, we establish boundaries for everything important in our lives. We have boundaries for our babies in the crib. If we have an upstairs, we create a boundary so the child can't fall down the stairs. We have boundaries around our homes. We raise up fences. We have locks on our doors. We put alarms on our cars, alarms on our homes. All of this is to say what? This is as far as you can legally go. And if you proceed beyond this point, you are now infringing on territory that is not rightfully yours. How is it that we can have established boundaries around all of these things that, in many cases, things that are far less important than our own souls, and live our lives emotionally and psychologically in a way that we give access to us to any and everybody, and we provide perpetual access to people who are proven offenders. You know, you think about the people that you have in your life and how they are afflicting and impacting you negatively. A lot of these people didn't just show up. They've been lifelong offenders. And for some reason, our brokenness allows them continued access. And I'm not talking at you, because these are some of the very things that I myself, you know, am working through. I'm well on my way. I promise you I am. I used to really be a doormat for people who were proven offenders. But now I'm in a healthier place, and I'm in an intentional place. I think that's when you know that you're becoming healthy, is when you become intentional and less emotional, or what's the word I'm looking for? You know, just driven by instinct, because the world does have a unique ability to program us for dysfunction to its benefit. In other words, illegal and illicit people that surround us, be it in family, be it on the job, be it in certain communities like church, school, work, or wherever, there are toxic and intentional people I call diabolical who program us to serve their purposes. And when we don't know that, we play right into their scheme. But let's get into this so that I don't keep you too long on this afternoon. I know a lot of you are probably commuting from work or ending up your work day. Number one, you must never make other people comfortable. Listen to this very carefully. You must never, ever make other people comfortable at the expense of your own needs. You must never, ever make other people comfortable at the expense of your own needs. Now, that's a lot different than the Christian ethic of serving others. You know, I cannot see, so forgive me if I do not recognize you. I cannot see, but I will go back and look. That's a lot different than the Christian ethic of serving others, because in the church, when we are not challenged to think, you know, we're spirit, soul, and body. And in the church, sometimes we over-spiritualize everything and we're not challenged to think in a healthy fashion. And so this thing that we call toxic empathy is prevalent in the church. And toxic empathy is when I can feel you so much I lose touch with myself. I can desire to meet your needs to the point that mine go unmet, and I can chalk all of that up to Christ. You know, in the name of serving Christ, I'm going to now become a doormat, and I'm going to allow a person that never had good intentions towards me or anyone else to use my life, to break my life, to leave me empty and helpless. And I'm going to say I did all of that in the name of Christ, in the name of serving Christ. Jesus never promoted that. He really did not. Jesus never promoted that. He did promote going out of your way to serve those that, you know, really, really need you. He never promoted being used or manipulated. And when you find yourself constantly in a position where by the same people or the same person, where you're challenged to forego your needs to continuously make them comfortable, that the whole so-called relationship is based on me forsaking my needs to make you comfortable. Mm-mm. That's not what God intended. This is where we know that we have to break the people-pleasing spirit. Because your boundaries, your personal boundaries, must always prioritize your needs over other people's comfort. You know, this is true even in terms of your children. When your children get grown and you've raised them and you've made all of the sacrifices to raise a human being, you've done everything you can do. You're not to be manipulated by your children when they're grown to forego your needs to please them. That's an unhealthy relationship. That's something else to talk about. Really, a lot of y'all have narcissistic children that you've raised to be that way. And I don't mean to go off the track here, but you gave them everything. You made them the center of the universe. And now you raise a grown narcissist on your hands. And now you're trying to live out the rest of your days pleasing them while disregarding you. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 25:1-10. A lot of verses, but watch this. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." These were oil-driven lamps, of course. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil." The foolish had no oil, the wise had oil. "For our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you." There's not enough for me and you. "But go ye rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. But notice how the wise virgins who had their oil prepared, contrasted by the foolish virgins who did not have their oil prepared, they said, the foolish virgin said, "Give us some oil. We want to go meet the bridegroom. We need oil to light our lamps." They said, no. Same way we got ours, you need to go get yours. They did not prioritize somebody else's comfort to the point that they ignored their own need. And there's some of you that are watching me now who are doing everything in the world to make everybody else happy. And at the end of the day, when you're at home by yourself, you realize that you've exhausted yourself to a point that you've made everybody else happy, and you have, there are needs you have in your life that no one's even concerned about. And you're in this state because you lack boundaries. You're in this state. I made a statement a few weeks ago. You don't want to be the world's best friend and your own worst enemy. So you must never make other people's comfort, or never make other people comfortable at the expense of your own needs. Now, why do we prioritize people who victimize us? I guess there are a lot of answers that we could give to that question, but there's this thing I call, that I there's this terminology I use called the approval trap. And the approval trap is something that's created by a person or people who, watch this, who demoralize you, who diminish you, who shrink you, who hurt you, who traumatize you, and make you feel like you're nothing. And the subconscious reaction to that trauma is that you spend a great deal of the rest of your life trying to win the approval of the very person that emptied your self-esteem. It's the approval trap. And so a person can intentionally break you and 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 disapprove of you and disapprove of you and tell you you're nothing. And that'll be the very person that you may spend a lifetime trapped in this cycle of trying to win their approval over and over and over again. They are aware of what they've done to you, but you're not aware of what they're doing to you. And so you're caught in this approval trap. And so you're doing whatever. I forget the dear heart's name, but she's a relationship coach, if I'm not mistaken, from London. And this is her quote, and it was powerful. She said, "We are seeking validation from people who are not even valid." We are seeking validation from people who are not even valid. You must never make other people comfortable at the expense of your needs. Right? All right, number two. I only have five. Number two. You have to understand this about establishing boundaries. Speaking your personal truth is never necessarily unkind or loveless. Because when you're a people pleaser and you fail to establish boundaries around your life, one of the things that prohibits you from establishing boundaries is that you firmly believe that if I speak what I really feel, and if I actually tell the truth in this scenario about what I want or what I need, that somehow that's going to make me come across as unkind or unloving. Well, all you have to do in that case is know your own heart. If you know that you're not unkind or unloving, the most loving thing we really can do in life is to be honest with people. The most hateful thing we can do is to lead people to believe that we are what we're not, or that we're for what we're not for. So the most loving thing I can do with you is to be transparent and honest about how I feel. But when you are a people pleaser, you're always afraid of speaking your truth because you're trying to process how are the people going to accept it. But speaking your personal truth is, that's your personal right. And it's really necessary. The soul has to be expressed. You can't keep all of your feelings and all of your truth locked up on the inside of you for the sake of someone else. Is that right? Speaking your personal truth is never necessarily unkind or loveless. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Don't be manipulated like little kids in cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Stop being deceived by people. Look what he says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He says we should speak the truth in love, but you should always speak your truth. You establish boundaries when you speak your truth. Let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. If you don't want it, the answer is no, I don't want it. If you don't want to go, the answer is no, I don't want to go. If you don't feel like it, no. The answer is I don't feel like it. You can't worry about what their facial expression is, or, you know, how it looks, how they look like they took it. You can't worry about all of that. You have to speak your personal truth. It's not unkind to be honest. Is my signal bad? It's not unkind to be honest. All right. When you look in Nehemiah 6, I think my signal is bad, so I'll make this brief. In Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4, there you see Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. There's these guys, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. They came, said, come on down with us and, you know, come chill with us. And Nehemiah was just bluntly honest. He says, why should the work cease for me to come down and deal with y'all? No, I'm not coming down. You establish boundaries with your truth. Some of you, the way to get, okay, everybody wants to know what to do with narcissists or whatever. I believe one of the ways to you know, elude these people is to always be honest. Stop, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Stop pandering to their feelings and just be honest about who you are, because people like this cannot stand a strong individual, and you establish your individuality with your truth. So speak your truth. And some of you are going to have to practice, because you've never practiced this. You have to practice speaking your truth. No, I don't want to go. No, I don't like that. No, I don't want to do this. You know, doesn't make you unkind. You can say it with a smile. Number three, the sun is going down on me. You are not responsible to manage my feelings. You're not, so my signal is good. You're not responsible to manage my feelings. Some of you are struggling with establishing boundaries because you feel like, you know, you have this toxic empathy where you're always trying to make me and everybody else happy. You're not responsible to manage my feelings. And if you're surrounded by people who expect you to make them happy, your circle is limited and you need. Right? Because watch this. The sun is leaving me. People will subconsciously utilize, listen to this statement very careful. People will subconsciously utilize passive aggressive suggestion to make you responsible for their feelings. Let me show you what I mean by that. Somebody can come and say to you, man, I'm I'm really struggling financially. I'm having a tough go of it. I'm having a tough time. And they're sitting there, look at you. And then the next thing you know, they'll ask you, what you think I need to do about it? Well, or they'll ask you something like this, just sliding it in. What we going to do, man? What we going to do? What you mean, what we going to do? This is not my financial crisis. But because they know that you feel responsible to manage their feelings, all they have to do is just cry up a storm, and they know you come into the rescue. But you got to stop coming to the rescue. You got to learn to listen to people and whatever it is they're dealing with. And you have to learn how to let them go on and process whatever it is they need to process and to do whatever it is they need to do without you being intricately involved. Pray for people. Learn how to pray for people and wishing people well and keep it moving. You got to stop letting people just cross over into your life and bringing all of their drama. Their drama is creating your trauma. Galatians 1 and 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." If I'm out here trying to please men, I can't please men and Christ at the same time. So there's a spiritual conflict here of interest. If I want to please God, I can't please you. I can't be around here trying to manage your feelings and then please God at the same time. Number four, before my son. Maybe I should back up. This is ridiculous. This is crude. This is what you call crude production here. Let's see. There we go. Okay, that'll give me a few more minutes. Oh my God, this live stuff is something else. Number four, you got to understand this. If you do not stand up and project your self-advocacy, you must first be the advocate for yourself. The world will always restrict and limit you. Now, that was one that I had a tough time with and still struggle with it, because I think I am a toxic empath. I really do. And my wife balances me out with that, My wife, she just gonna tell it like it is. I'm always, I guess that's the pastor in me, always concerned about people's feelings. Don't wanna make people feel bad. And, all of this stuff I teach you is stuff I'm processing myself. But I've learned also, if you don't stand up and project yourself, the world will always put you in a little box and limit you. And you can't always be in a position where somebody else always has to come to your defense. You're no victim. You know what I mean? You're not some little helpless victim around here. I need Superman. I need Batman. I need Spider-Man. Somebody come help me. No. God made you powerful, man. God made you just relentless. You just have to know who you are, own who you are, and stop taking upon yourself all of the responsibilities of other people. You're responsible for you. And you have to stand up and project yourself. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts 4:18 through 20. It says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all. They're talking to the apostles, don't teach about Jesus, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, that's for you to judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. There's no need in you telling us what you want us to do, because we're not going to do what you want us to do. We're not going to stop. And at some point, you have to put your foot down with family, with friends, with whatever. You have to put your foot down and say, no, it's not going like that. It's just not going to go like that. This is the way I'm going to do it, period. All right, number five, I'm still running with the sun. Boundaries, you have to understand this. When you establish boundaries, this is the beautiful benefit of boundaries. And we could go on and, I guess we could have limitless points about this subject. boundaries will always reveal illegals. And when I use the term illegals, I know that this is a charged environment in the United States of America. I'm not talking about my Mexican brother in the States of America. I'm talking about people that God has not ordained for your life. When you have boundaries, your boundaries will always reveal people who are not authorized to be in your life, because people who are toxic and are not authorized to be in your life will never respect your boundaries. So when you establish boundaries, which you should do before you start engaging the world on any serious level, when you establish boundaries, you are simultaneously creating a perimeter around your life that will let you know when people are trying to enter your life who are not authorized by God, because boundaries always reveal people who are illegal. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, people cannot respect my boundaries unless they're on the same page with me. Where, can y'all believe the sun is leaving me again? People cannot accept my boundaries unless they're on the same page with me. So I just had that thought. I thought it was a good idea to come outside, but apparently not. The sun is leaving me. I love y'all. Now, let me say this before I let you go. Sometimes your silence establishes your boundary. Let's see something here, because I'm out of this. All right. Sometimes your silence establishes your boundary. Sometimes all you need to do is just say nothing. And it's amazing how that can send the signal to people, I've gone too far. Sometimes you just need to go silent. You don't need to respond to anything on social media. Sometimes people are intentionally antagonizing you to get you to respond. And the real answer to dealing with them is to absolutely go silent. Just say nothing. Don't be lured in, you know. Don't be pulled back in. Don't get emotional. Just be quiet. Whew. All right. I love y'all. Listen, don't forget to stop by rcblinks.com. Sign up for my mailing list. Get all my books. Thank all of you that support me with buying my books. Lisa sent me a thing the other day talking about how we're having to ship out, I think, like, well, over 1,000 books, as she would put it, 1,039 in this one shipment. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And those of you in Mobile, Alabama, we're going to be there this Friday night, November the 22nd, Saturday morning the 23rd, with SWIM, Sisters Winning in Ministry. You can still attend that Friday night worship experience, of course, is open to the public. And Saturday we'll be in sessions at the Mobile Marriott. rcblakes.com, look under live events. If you've not gotten information about the cruise, which is happening in 2020, do that as well. The sun is leaving me. I'm leaving you. I love you. I'll be back soon. I just wanted to share that with you. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.